Station first.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Welcome once again. You're listening to the second hour of Live Live here on Adventist World Radio. My name is Nayelu Pondwana. We are together until 3 o'clock. We do have on the line our guest for this segment, talking about unity and the various permutations of unity. Pastor Mapuratsi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, thank you very much. It is really my heartfelt pleasure to speak to this aspect of unity.
Do give us a definition of what unity is, Pastor, please.
Unity generally is togetherness or oneness, the state of being undivided.
Is it really possible, Pastor, to be undivided? What do you mean by undivided?
Yes, undivided, it is very possible to achieve that if there are these unifying factors. The factor that makes you unity, for example, love. If we love one another, then certainly there's unity. And the other thing is, by nature, we are human beings, regardless of our race, regardless of our background, individuality, or status. And the other thing is purpose. So purpose is why are we here, and also what do we want to achieve? So it is very possible to be undivided if we consider these three aspects that makes unity possible.
Do you have a biblical example of people who were united as you are defining them now?
Yes, yes. Firstly, we can talk of our God. Our God is not divided. There's unity in the Godhead. We learn about our God that there are three co-eternal persons, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 7, says these three are one. And we can also read from the book of Genesis about unity in creation. So Genesis chapter 1, 26, it says, "Let us make," which talks of plurality of Godhead. And what made creation a possibility was that unit which existed among the three core eternal persons that makes Godhead. And also we can see unity in redemption. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in his Son reconciling the world to himself. So we see the possibility of unity because it is already displayed in the operation of God himself.
All of these examples that you've given us, Pastor, are examples of God in operation. I'd like to see unity amongst human beings, amongst ourselves as mortal beings. Do you have any biblical examples where mortals were united?
Yes, indeed. The first example is given in Genesis chapter 11, where people were united to fight the plan of God. And God actually intervened and divided them because they were united for a wrong purpose.
Let's read. Let's read, Pastor. You're talking about the building of the Tower of Babel?
Yes, yes, sir.
All right.
In Genesis chapter 7.
Say that again. Genesis chapter?
11.
11. All right. Are you going to read it or shall I read it, Pastor?
I can read it.
Okay.
I can read it. In Genesis 11, In Genesis 11, we see verse 1 saying, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another," we should give our attention to verse 3. It says, "Go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime and mortar, and they said, God, to let us build a city. So they were united, but for a wrong purpose, and they whatever they wanted to achieve, they were achieving it. They started doing their plans because they had one thing in common, language. That was another thing that would unify them. And the other thing was the purpose. They wanted to build a city. They wanted to build a tower also. So they were united in terms of language. They were also united in terms of purpose.
And then we see them being easily divided by God himself.
Yes, yes. So the other aspect also, which I see is unity for good purpose, which is displayed in the book of Acts.
Before we go to that unity, I want us to just clarify a few points here with the story you've chosen of the building of the Tower of Babel. God divided them, and as such, yes, we can deduce, and you can prove me wrong if I am, Pastor. Those people, though they were united, they were then easily divided. And in that, yes, case, the language divided them. Would I be correct, yes, to say that a united people can and will be divided by language, as we see with the Tower of Babel?
Yes.
So the, yes, issues that we are having in the world today are not only issues that are so insurmountable. They are mundane issues like language are things that were used by God then to divide people, and language is still using people today to divide people.
Very true.
So, that definition that says the state of being undivided, we can throw that definition away, because the fact that you're united and you still have an Achilles heel, which is language, that has the potential to divide you, doesn't mean you're not united at all. Would I be correct to say you must be united, and the correct definition of united is, even though these things that can divide us, they don't?
Yes. For as long as there is a purpose, our backgrounds, our tribes, our races, our languages cannot necessarily divide us.
So that here at the Tower of Babel, because language divided them, therefore we can conclude that they were not united to begin with.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. Their unity was not genuine because it was simply divided by language.
Okay. All right, if you're saying so, you're making my job easy. Thank you very much, Pastor. You wanted to move on to the Acts story. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So if we start the book of Acts in the fourth chapter, actually starting from the second chapter, we see 120 disciples which were left by Jesus when he went to heaven. They were united over his promises. You know, never depart from Jerusalem. Tarry there until the Holy Spirit is given unto you. So they were united in terms of purpose. The purpose was to receive the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the commission. So that was their unifying factor. And we see after the Holy Spirit was also was given unto them, they were united again, fulfilling the prayer of Jesus in the 17th chapter of John, and the verses 21 and 22, make them one as I and you are one, so that the world may see that thou hast sent me, which means that by their unity, they could easily evangelize. So unity itself can bring more souls to Jesus. It is shown in the fourth chapter of Acts, verse 32. We see disciples selling, you know, their possessions, bringing the man together, sharing according to their needs, and that shows unity, which is being propelled by the concept of love.
Let's again glean some lessons there, Pastor. So, in that case, we can, mm-hmm, and or shall I say, can we then deduce that language in their case worked for good, while different languages in the building of the Tower of Babel worked for bad. In the case of the upper room experience, language worked for good. Would that be a fair summation of this experience, Pastor?
Yes.
Because the Bible... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. I wanted to say that the difference between the Tower of Babylon and the upper room experience is the purpose. So besides the fact that language divided the initial group, but their purpose was going to divide them despite the language. Their purpose was going to divide them. You know, they wanted to reach God. And it is obvious that they were not going to reach to that level.
Why is it obvious? If it was obvious there, Pastor, God would never have bothered, because obviously, as you're saying, they wouldn't reach. Why would you say it's not going to happen, and yet God himself and whoever he was talking to was afraid that they will reach heaven?
Not really. God saw that these people, by building the tower, are moving away from my original plan. So he wanted to interrupt the progress.
But does God say it that way?
Come again?
Does God say that?
Not really, but we can read that from the text.
Let's read it. Verse 4 says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of this whole earth.'" Verse 5, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building." Verse 6, "The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, wow, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from the over the earth." It continues. So according to God, this is now God speaking in Genesis, nothing is impossible. Why are you saying it was not going to be possible if God says it was going to, nothing was going to be impossible for them? So as far as God is concerned, they were going to be able to reach the heavens.
I see now.
So can we agree that the issue of the purpose was not his concern? His concern was achieving it.
Yes, I see.
Okay. Can we now go back to the story of the Acts again? In the book of Acts there, Pastor, we are seeing you made an example of how they all had things in common, and that was because of unity. And God, the story goes on to say, and God added thousands, and people were added to them because of their unity, their oneness, right?
Yes.
But now we know for a fact, because of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, that they were not united. There were people amongst them, like this couple, which was not in my one mind or one spirit with them. These two decided they are not going to give all, as everyone else was giving all. And Peter commended them for deciding to give, but condemned them for being dishonest about it. So we know from the story that they were not in one mind and they were not united, but still God added to them in spite of the fact that they were not in one mind.
Okay.
So is it true then, therefore, that we really need to be united in order for God to add to us and bless us? Do we really need to be united, Pastor?
Very true. Very true. If we read the Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." What it simply means is they were united. But however, no matter how united we are, there are always some seeds of division.
That
are sowed by the enemy. So Ananias and Sapphira's story is a perfect example of some seeds that always seeks to divide the already united church.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. So I wanted to say these people were united.
Mm.
And it is shown by the writing of Paul to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12. He was talking about different body parts, but adding to the same body, or they are part of the of one body. So this simply means that though we have different opinions, different behaviors, different characters, but what brings us together is what we are here for.
So my question there, Mfundisi, was, does God really need human unity in order for him to do his part? If we know that there are certain members of the body that don't always function as desired, God still blesses the body anyway, even though there would be some Ananiases and Sapphiras in our midst. God will still bless. So unity really is not a prerequisite for God's blessings. It's a good to have, but it's not a must have, right?
Not really.
Okay.
If we read our Bibles in John 17, like what I was saying, verse 21, it says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So, God requires unity among his people so that it can... Remember, God uses humanity to reach to humanity. So, there are some traits that we need to copy from what he does, like what the Bible is saying, as we are one. Jesus is saying, we are one, I am the Father. So in order for the world to believe in my word, to believe in our mission, to believe in our purpose as Godhead, they need to see what we do, our character, our way of operating displayed by the church. So when the church is united, it is preaching to the world that our God is united. So, in short, God also needs us to be united in order to display his message to the world.
That's what I was trying to get to. Does he need us to do that, Val? Or can he do it whether we're united or not?
Okay. So, if we want to try to answer that, we read 1 Corinthians 12. Maybe before that, we consider 133 of Psalms 133, verse 1.
Mm.
It says, I'll consider using NIV, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Yeah.
Unity is a requirement. It is indeed a necessity.
The verse doesn't say it's a requirement or a necessity. It simply says it's a good thing and it's pleasing. It doesn't say it's a requirement. It doesn't say it's needed. It simply says it's good. It's pleasing.
Yeah, I like your way of analysis.
Well, that's what it reads. That's what you just read there, Pastor. Before I even give my analysis, the verse itself speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yes. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Yeah.
If we would want to qualify that it is a requirement, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I like the last part of the text to make it to qualify that it is indeed a necessity.
Okay. Hold on. Where are you reading, Pastor?
1 Corinthians 12, verse 12.
Oh, 12, 12. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor.
It says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all is many parts from one body.
Mm.
So it is with Christ. And you remember John says, those who says they are of Christ, they should walk as he walked. That simply means it's a requirement.
No, it doesn't go as far as saying it's a requirement. But I hear how you're coming to your conclusion, Mfundisi. I understand, and I can appreciate the our desire to be pleased. It says how good and pleasing, and if you want to be happy, if you want to be pleased, then you must have unity. And I take that well and good. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I welcome that, and I appreciate your concern, your explanation on the matter, Mfundisi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, that's our pastor for today. We continue with the issue of unity tomorrow. But right now, I want you to remember that we are always doing this just so we can have a better understanding of what we claim to believe in. You're listening to AWR. I'm Naya Lupondwana. G'day.
Don't just exist. Live. Live on AWR SID Media.